Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Batch bitch.
Hello.
I'm Naomi.
And I'm Danielle.
And this is Batch Bitch podcast where we bitch about the Bachelor franchise. Danielle, we're back. It's been so long.
It has been so long for this season final of Batch Bitch.
Yeah, that's right.
Forever. Because we didn't know what we were going to do. And then, you know, I feel like we were like, okay, we have a woman of color who is also bisexual. This is what we've wanted for the whole time. We can't then be like, nah, not going to do it.
Yeah. A First Nations queer bachelorette.
I'm bored of the format.
It's boring. Well, guess what makes it not boring? Girls kissing each other. Okay, I'll say it. Actually spiced it right up for me.
I couldn't believe how refreshing I found this when I watched the first episode.
Right? Okay, it's actually good. Huge twist. I can't believe it. But we are going to get into it. Danielle, how have you been? The last episode we recorded that we uploaded last week, we actually recorded that in May with Abby Chatfield.
It's been a little while.
Whoopsie. But now we're both on amphetamines, so that is fun.
Yes, I'm on my first week of amphetamines.
Hell yeah.
And so far I have a really dry mouth. I've done a lot of stuff, which is good, and it hasn't been like a hassle. Like a day three, I was like, you know what? I do need to do my taxes. I'm gonna go sort it. And then I actually sorted it.
That's
and
huge.
And then I got like an Aura ring for my birthday to track my sleep. And I've been noticing that since I started the amphetamines, my sleep hasn't been as good. And also my deep sleep, which has always been bad, has continued to be bad.
Hell yeah.
But then last night I had a melatonin, and guess what? I got my best ever deep sleep rating.
And
I was
that's
all
amazing.
In the blue. It was incredible. And then I woke up this morning and I felt good. But then I had to watch all of The Bachelorette, because I'd been putting it off. I'm not going to lie.
Why?
Because I was sick of the format.
Yeah.
And I felt like everything was boring. I didn't watch a single episode of The Bachelor this season.
I have watched no idea a couple. Who won.
I don't know anything about it.
I don't know. No, I don't know who won either. I think she was blonde, but I might be making that up.
They're always, usually. I mean, I don't know. I don't even remember who's ever won.
I don't think we've ever watched this show. it's fine. Yeah, look, it's usually boring as fuck. I mean, I could tell the last season was going to be boring, and it was. Everyone was like, this is boring as all hell. I did actually watch a tiny bit. I watched a few episodes, and I watched a bit where they were, like, upset that someone else called someone a cunt. And you'll never guess who I identified with.
When I was watching this show, this season, immediately within the first episode, I think I found a character that I was like, Naomi's gonna love this person. But also, I was like, this is the funniest thing in the world. But we'll get to that.
Well, anyway, yes, it was she was a gamer. She was a Twitch streamer. And she said, oh, this, like, she called another woman a cunt. And they were just like, the girls who were upset about it felt very private school to me. They were like, so I would just, like, never call another woman a see you next Tuesday. I just don't think that that is the kind of behavior that we should be exhibiting. I was like, shut up, cunt. Like, yeah. Oh, my God, shut up. Like,
I
just say that your parents, like, took you to ski resorts when you were three. Just say that.
Yeah, I thought everybody stopped caring about the word in maybe 2006.
Yeah, but that's, see, these are like, they just spoke like they're from Sydney. Like, yeah, they're okay. From the city of Sydney, and I hate them. They're just, like, too much money, where you're, like, sheltered, and you're shocked when you hear the word cunt. Shut up. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. Although, you know, power to that Twitch streamer girl, Steph, we love you, even if you play World of Warcraft or something, which is disgusting. We are here to talk about Brooke. Oh, my God. Okay, so let's get into it. We get an intro of Brooke reminding us. Obviously, she was in the first season of The Bachelor we watched together, Danielle.
Yes, the Honey Badger season, which I didn't like to be reminded of, but I guess you do have to recap it.
Seeing his head, I was so angry when I saw his fucking, like, that mop of hair and that fucking mustache and just nothing going on upstairs. Literally, the only valuable thing that he said was when they asked him if he was horny and he said a sheepdog couldn't chew through it. That is the only valuable thing he said.
No, why did you remind me of that? It's so visceral.
Exactly. I mean, that's the one thing. And he probably didn't even come up with that. Anyway, so we get reminded of that and how she was like one of the front runners, but she walked out. Now, I'm pretty sure we know now that what actually happened is he told her he wasn't going to choose anyone. I think she was the closest thing that he had to, like, someone he was going to end up with. And so he basically gave her a warning that, and so she left.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
To then be like, I don't care about hurting these other two feelings. Mm.
Well, that's on, like, the second episode, on the second season of The Bachelor as well, Blake Garvey, who everyone ended up hating. I do think that is honestly one worth rewatching because it was so funny because he was clearly so unlikable and the women were so interesting. And
Naomi. I'm never going to rewatch a season of it. Never in my life.
There was a lot of really good moments, okay? But he proposed to Sam Frost. Oh, my God, there's so much to discuss in the world right now. She came first. But then after that, they broke up. Even before it aired, they'd called off the engagement. He'd broken up with her. And then he ended up with the woman who came fourth, I think. Or maybe third, but I believe it was fourth. And I think he, like, was like, I don't want to drag her all the way to, I respect her too much to drag her all the way to another country to then dump her. Don't know why he didn't just like end up with her, but I think it was something about like Sam Frost seemed the most likely to say yes to the proposal.
Oh, and they'd already organized it? Like the producers were like, we're getting a proposal this season? Or
I really can't remember, but I feel like he said he was like pressured into choosing Sam or something.
Okay, interesting.
Sam Frost. Okay. Did you see what happened there though?
No,
no. Can we talk about that for a quick second?
Yeah, sure. Of course we can talk about it for a quick second.
So Sam Frost, you know, won The Bachelor and then got dumped before it aired, and then was The Bachelorette, ended up with a guy called Sasha. That relationship ended. She recently, like, posted this video on Instagram talking about how, like, she's really scared because she doesn't want the vaccine and that's her choice and she feels like she's that there's segregation for vaccinated and non-vaccinated people and that people are scared to, like, sort of come out as unvaccinated and that it's a personal choice and people need to stop attacking each other over it.
Oh, my God.
She used the word segregation. And everyone was like, fuck off. Fuck off, bitch. Like absolutely not. And it's so funny because she was like, you know, I've spoken to my doctor about it. I've spoken to my psychologist about it. And those are conversations that I choose to keep private. And, like, I just, like, what could it be other than her being, because if you have a legitimate medical exemption, then you're not, like, you can still do all that. Like, you can just present that medical exemption. That still counts, like, on the same level as a vaccine certificate. So what you're saying is, like, I just feel like she went to a doctor and went, I don't want the vaccine. And the doctor was like, you should get the vaccine. And she went, I'm not going to. She's like, I've discussed it with my doctor. Like, and I'm not going to tell you what that conversation was like or whether or not the doctor was like, please get the vaccine. And me just being like, no. And then me talking to my psychologist and being like, I'm anxious. Shut up, loser.
I don't really have anything to say on. I don't really know what to say. It seems, where is she? Is she in Tasmania?
No, she's in, I think she's in Sydney. She's on Home and Away. She's an actor on Home and Away.
Oh, I think, did I just assume she lives in Tasmania because she got married in Tasmania?
Did she?
Was she the one who
you're thinking of Georgia Love?
Wedding of?
You're thinking of Georgia
I am
Love.
Thinking of a different person.
No, Georgia Love got pulled off of TV because she posted something on Instagram that was like a racist joke.
Oh, do you know what happened to me yesterday? I went to Spotlight.
Did you get pulled off of your anchor position because you posted a racist joke on Instagram?
No, I went to Spotlight yesterday because a friend brought around a sewing machine for me to borrow, and I was going to go buy some fabric. And I went in there and the line to get fabric was taking like so long. Mm. And the people behind the counter like, didn't know what they were doing. And I was sort of confused because I was like, this seems more than just they've had a few months off. And yeah, it turns out I heard one of them, like some old man was like basically yelling at like this young guy behind the service counter. I don't know. I think he'd paid too much and didn't get something put through. Like they put an extra zero on it and maybe he paid $10,000. I don't know. You know, just a small little error. And it's just a little joke. It was probably a big error if he added a zero.
$9,000. That's a lot of money, actually.
But then the lady came over who was trying to handle it and she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, yeah, we had so many of our staff went and store manager, she was anti-vax, and so they had to get rid of her because she wouldn't get vaxxed, and so then half the staff like went with her or whatever, and I was
my God.
Whoa, this was crazy. And then I was like, I'm running late because I've been waiting for 4 hours in this like fabric line, but I want to hear more of the story, but I got somewhere to be, so I gotta go.
Okay, shout out if you're looking for a job, Spotlight's hiring apparently.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, get back to Brooke. Okay, so she did the Honey Badger season, whatever, didn't work out. Then she did Bachelor in Paradise. This was the most devastating blow, I think, for all of us because her and Alex Nation were
getting the fuck along. She chose Bill. It was absolutely insane.
And Alex chose Dog Park Bill. Okay, speaking of anti-vaxxer, fucking 5G conspiracy theory idiot. I fucking hate Bill. And even on the show, he was like lying to the women. Like, lied to Alex about Florence and lied to Florence about Alex. And Alex, how can you choose Bill? He wasn't even hot. Like, to me, anyway.
No, I think Bill looks like a Lego man come to life.
Yes, yes. And we're allowed to say that because he's a cunt. Chose him over Brooke? I was so pissed off, especially because I think Alex Nation is so beautiful. Like literally I just used to scroll on her Instagram and just look at pictures of her face. And this was like before she was on The Bachelor because I knew someone who was dating her like years ago. She's so beautiful. And then she goes for Bill when you could have Brooke. Anyway, so Brooke, got dumped again.
Well, but this is she's got more people to date here than ever before.
Oh my
God. This is a lucky chance. I have a prediction that there's going to be a lot of crying this season.
She's cried like fucking 10 times in the first episode.
I know. I find it refreshing because, I mean, I don't know how long it will like stay refreshing, but I think she seems very genuine, which is really nice to see.
Yes.
Other than overly media trained people sometimes.
Well, I honestly think you need a certain amount of media training because I've talked about this before. Sophie Monk was great because she was comfortable in front of a camera. And I think if you're not comfortable in front of a camera, then you come across like really stilted. And you actually need a certain amount of media training to like be yourself on camera.
Yes.
And because she's done two shows and stuff, I think she's ready for it. Hell yeah.
Quick question.
Yes.
Before we get into it as well. Do you know there's a man in this season who I think looks like Tim Hanley from a previous season, just with a different haircut? Do you know who I'm talking about?
I do. His name is Kurt.
Do you know if he's actually related? Because I couldn't find his name. Okay. Sorry about that. Back to the show.
Yeah, no, that's good to flag up the top, obviously.
Yeah, sorry. I'm taking amphetamines because I've been diagnosed as well for ADHD. Yeah, sorry.
You're like, okay, I've got something really important. okay, so we get to the red carpet. Already starts so much more amazing than any other previous season. Brooke getting out of the limo, looking... First of all, can I say absolutely amazing in this dress?
Yes.
This, like, full length. It's, like, beaded black and the arms are, like, full length and they're into, like, the gloves.
Yeah, it reminded me of like an ostrich.
Yeah. A beautiful ostrich.
The big like butt area bit of it, like the full, I can't. Okay, I shouldn't have tried to describe it by making sounds with my mouth.
Yes.
But they're like the big butt flowy area and then the two legs poking out and then the long wings.
Yes, yes. It sounds hideous, but she looked really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, she comes down and there are three men there to do a welcome to country, which is just beautiful.
I wasn't expecting to because I've heard so many welcome to countries in my life, doing like so many like just at all the comedy stuff, you know, like every night before you show or whatever. And then this one, I got,
yeah, but
like,
that's just a recorded message.
Yeah,
this is like, I thought it was they really had like nice. A didgeridoo.
I just thought it made me sad that then I was like, oh yeah, we don't do this like for other like they've never done this on a different season of the Bachelor or Bachelorette before,
and they like fucking should. It was beautiful. Yeah. Brooke's crying. Everyone's crying. This is the Bachelorette shot on Darug country. Now I want to get this right. Hang on, because Brooke is a proud. I know it's Noongar, but I think it's there's another one. I don't want to say it wrong. Yeah, Yamaji Noongar woman. So shout out, I guess. So very cool. She's crying. It's like really, really beautiful. She's definitely the first Nations bachelor or bachelorette. And I think the first bisexual bachelor/bachelorette in the world.
Yes. They said that multiple times.
Yeah.
Osha was like,
Osha's so like smug about it, which is so funny because like on Twitter for years, he's been like, hey, if anyone like wants to suggest how like a queer bachelor could work, let me know because it just does not work with the format. And it's like, what's the problem that people might like start hooking up? Oh no, how horrible for reality television to have that kind of drama.
But that already happened.
Yeah, it does already. Yeah, because some of the women end up being queer in the Bachelor Mansion anyway.
Yeah.
It's almost like you can't find enough people who are fully straight these days. Feel like I should say up the top here as well. I've officially but quietly come out as bi, Danielle, only because of my, you know, repeated attraction to multiple women. I figured, we'll just say that now.
Is that what we're going to call the episode? Naomi is quietly coming out as bi.
Yes. Quietly bi. Okay, so let's get into the people. You know, Brooke's here. It's beautiful. We're ready to meet these people coming to try to kiss her on the lips.
Yes.
Holly is from Sydney, 27. She's blonde. They seem
she's
to be getting along. I'm not that drawn to Holly. I mean, it's not about me, but, you know.
But I don't think you're drawn to blondes.
Really?
Yeah, I think Alex Nation is, like, the only blonde you've ever mentioned. Before that, it's always been, like, that lady who looked
darker
a bit like
features.
You. Yeah, that dark-haired lady who looked like a Disney princess. I'm really bad with names.
That other lady, and then another lady, and, yeah, anyway, I think I might be bi.
I think what you like is a brown-haired, like, somebody who looks ethnically ambiguous, because everybody, except for Alex Nation, has always been that. Also, that's the most ethnic people get in The Bachelor and Bachelorette as well.
Just is reaching ambiguous. For what I can find. Give me anything. Give me the crumbs. I think I'm drawn to interesting faces as well. Just like interesting, you know, like a nose a bit big or, you know, eyebrows very strong or anyway, whatever. Also,
well,
side note.
You've got ADHD. You want to have some other stuff to focus on.
Side note, I booked in my satin return hair appointment. I am going blonde.
God.
I'm going blonde next month, Danielle.
Is this because of Hum? Is Hum talking to you about satin return? Is this where you've gotten satin return from? All I hear from Hum is, it's time for your satin to return. Yes, sorry, everybody. Hum is our friend. We had her on the podcast.
Yeah, we did. You can listen to that. It's only like a few episodes ago. Well, yeah, but also, like, you know, I just feel like I'm in a transformative time in my life and it's time for me to go blonde. Also, like, my friend who is gay, I feel like that's important to the story. He, like, I've been thinking about going blonde for, like, a year and he messaged me being like, I had a dream you went blonde and it was great. And I was like, this is the sign. So
wonderful.
I'm
how
in.
Blonde? What blonde?
Well, I'm just going to progressively go blonder because, like, you can't really do it in one go, right?
I think you can with natural hair.
Really?
I think with, like, your natural hair, you can do whatever you want, basically.
Oh, but I think it takes, like, a few goes so that your hair doesn't just, like, die off.
Oh, okay.
You have to do it gently.
I'm also, I have no idea. I just assume this because once I die.
So I'm holding up a picture of Margot Robbie. It's like a neutral blonde with, like, a bit of brown at the roots. Color. Well, it's more just, like, neutral because I don't want it to be ashy, but I don't think I can have it too yellow because of my complexion. Anyway, okay, please. We've introduced... Okay, we're 20 minutes in.
We have not started talking about the... We need to get on topic.
We haven't talked in a while.
Holly, we don't... We
Holly,
feel impartial.
Yeah, they like
the
each other, whatever they're dancing. Okay,
then
next up...
Then there's David.
David also... You know, these two seem like already front runners. He arrives on a ride-on lawnmower... love his jacket. It's sequined. It's like beaded.
Yeah.
It's very sparkly, but it looks amazing on him, I have to say. He says, she says, oh, lawnmower. And he goes, yeah, it's got a bit of a backstory to it. I own a landscaping company, hence the lawnmower. I wouldn't describe that as a backstory.
No.
I'd just say, I'm a landscaper. Anyway, he's Persian and he's brought some Persian tea. Being Persian, very important to him. Brooke likes this a lot because culture is very important to her as well. He pulls out a genie lamp and tells her to make some wishes. Obviously, her first wish is that he was here, so haha, that came true.
This is where I know I would be a bad bachelorette because I have this dream. Well, it's not a dream because I actively think about it during my daytimes, but I have this wish, I guess. Oh. A wish. I will have a wish that a genie will come to me and he'll give me a number of wishes, and then I have to work out if it's like a good genie or a bad genie. Like if the genie's gonna be like, you know how sometimes genies are like, they'll give you something but it comes at the cost of something else. So trying to find the way to get workarounds of my wishes so that my beautiful dead dog Sarge can come back to life.
Yeah.
And that's how I know, because I spend all my wishes trying to, like, cover up all the things. None of my wishes would be that the person who I'm sitting opposite on the bachelorette carpet would be my bachelor. It would be, like, number one, my dead dog Sarge comes back from the dead. Number two, he's not a skeleton. He's fully covered in all his body, hair. He's, like, completely normal. He's healthy. He's at his peak health. Number third, he's immortal. Or, like, he lives until the day I die. Like, we live and die together. Those are my wishes. Those are my three wishes.
They're all about Sarge?
Yes.
Okay.
What? What are your wishes then? That's the end. That's the end. I'm just saying I'd be a bad bachelor or bachelorette because the whole season I'd get the doom, 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 doom edit. And I wouldn't be, I would be like, I would not be wanting to, I don't know. I went off topic. let's rein this in. It's been too long since we've done a podcast. And before we were not tight, but the thing is you have to understand that was tight for us.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're fucked. Okay, so then next up is Bo. He's a photographer. You get the sexy music that says this guy is a douchebag.
Yeah. I feel like we didn't even need the music.
No, he says, you look beautiful. Cute AF. He says AF a lot. He's taking pictures of her. And then he says, I have my own personal stash of photos already. And Brooke hates this. She's not hiding it at all. She's like, oh, no, why did he say? She's like, okay. That's like, you know, they've got to get some gags. I think she understands.
It is weird to see who they like. I mean, because the casting process for this, I guess like some people you do just put in just for, you know, they're going to be like cringe or something like fun to watch. I guess you would just put a few duds in.
Yeah.
I forget about that sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, what person was thinking this person's going to be Brooke's perfect partner?
Nobody.
But then I remember.
Haven't you watched Unreal, Danielle? God.
No, I haven't. I've watched like three episodes, remember?
Oh, well, you should watch more of it because it's a good show.
Next up we have Carissa?
Mm-hmm. Who I find beautiful. Okay, she has brown hair and brown. Yes. You knew?
I wrote down, most beautiful woman I've ever seen, Naomi will have a crush on her.
Absolutely. immediately starts talking about her dead parents. She's like, so, hi, nice to meet you. Both of my parents died, like, less than a year ago. It's like, whoa. But good. Yeah, no, I think she looks a bit like Kat.
Kat?
The one who I was in love with from a few seasons ago.
Oh, yes. You love a plump, like a plump, juicy young face.
Yes.
And yeah, brown hair. You do love brown hair. You're a lover of brown and black hair.
Yeah. Wow. There you go. Interesting. Anyway. So then she says whenever she thinks about her mom, she sees rainbows. And then, she's been seeing a lot of rainbows recently. And then Brooke starts crying because she says that on her way to the mansion today, for the first time, she saw a rainbow and she felt like it was a sign. Carissa pulls out a picture of a rainbow turtle. Brooke's like, oh, my God, I love turtles. They're both crying. It's crazy. As Carissa puts it, the synchronicity, or I think she says synchronicity, but we'll forgive her for that. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have nothing to say to that. Okay. I think Carissa is fucking so beautiful.
That's the main feature. I think it's like she's extremely beautiful. And then also there's the rainbow turtle thing. I reckon that's like just a coinky dink.
Danielle.
Personally,
Some spirituality for a second. Oh my God.
I do have spirituality.
People attribute meaning to things. If they're attributing meaning to something, then that something has meaning.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, I think it's also a coinky dink.
Okay. Next up, we have clearly the man that Australia will root for.
No, I'm worried about Conrad because I keep getting Kieran flashbacks.
Vibes. Yeah. Totally. Okay, he's blonde, he's a carpenter,
he's got a dangly earring, and that's bringing me back to when Kieran, we all looked at him, and we thought, this man's a fuckboy, and then he proved us wrong, and we all fell in love with him collectively as a country, Australia's vaginas got wet, and then in Bachelor in Paradise, he dried us all out, he ruined it, we all went, now we should have gone with our guts, this is what fuckboys do.
Exactly. Do not trust men. So we can't fully trust this man, but gosh, does he seem sweet. He seems so sweet, but we do not trust. He's a carpenter, so he comes in his carpenter gear, and then he gets Brooke to build a bench with him.
This fucking bench.
A love seat, they're calling it. I guess... it's just like a plain bench, really. But she really wants to sit on it, and he's like, I pinky promise you, I'm going to put it somewhere in the, I'm going to put it somewhere nice, and then we can sit on it together. And then that'll be the time we sit on it. And she's like, okay, great. And then he just carries it out on one shoulder. Whew. I mean, you got to love a little bit of that. She goes,
what type of wood was that? Was that pine? Was that a real light wood? What type of wood was he carrying?
Yeah. It looked like pretty shit wood. You know what I mean?
You need to stain that, make it look more expensive.
Yeah. I don't know why he didn't stain it before taking the pieces in.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
like, I know that's not the way that you would usually do it, but you want it to look good on camera, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's also like, what? It's not going to do anything if it's pre-varnished to then just drill the one leg onto this pre-made bench.
Exactly. Anyway.
You can do it. You could honestly stain it and then do your cover. I don't know what you do. You do some sort of outdoor stain because it's going to sit outside. This is, I assume, just going to burn in the sun.
Yeah, go absolutely.
We'll go brittle in the sun. I assume it will go brittle in the sun.
Well, you've been doing a lot of woodworking, you do.
But only indoor woodwork for me.
Mm. Well, thank fucking Christ. Let's not get into it. Brooke says he was hot. Honestly, I have to agree. I think this man is very hot. How do you feel?
See, yeah, no, Kieran's put me off this train. I can't trust.
He's not like Kieran, though, because this guy's kind of, like, shy.
I don't know yet. I need time, okay? The way I like people is I don't like anybody when I first meet them. Well, I mean, I like them, but I don't, like, have crushes on people. I don't, like, meet somebody and then go, like, oh, I've got a tingly feeling. I'm like, I need to get to know you, and then I'll start to feel some feelings.
Yeah, but I'm going off, like, watching him in the first two episodes. You know, I've gotten a vibe for his personality. I can't go straight off the looks of someone either. Well, with women, maybe. But men, no. But it's part, it is in, at least in part, it's his personality.
Yeah, I don't know where I sit. He seems sweet. I feel like he just looks like a regular man with blonde hair to me.
Okay. Well, Twitter disagrees, but that's fine. Okay. We get some cool shots of the girls and the boys in limo together because usually, like, when they're arriving, they'll have two people in a limo, you know, just to – otherwise, you just – it would be crazy. But it's girls and, like, there's a woman and a man in each limo. It's so funny to see them interacting.
But it is awkward.
There's a beautiful awkward shot of a man holding a microphone and a woman holding up a cake tray of brownies. And then in the other hand, she has like one of those shakers with like powdered sugar in it, just sitting there silently.
When that was happening, and I was just staring at the man's microphone, so terrified he was going to do stand up. I was so worried that this man was going to do stand up in front of Brooke. But that would also be maybe my favorite intro ever, because you know that would get the dun dun. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he still kind of got it. He was rapping, but terrible at it, which makes you go, but then immediately followed by him going to camera afterwards, I didn't even think I could rap. I still don't think I could rap. That was absolutely ridiculous.
See, they never would have given that edit to a woman.
He saved it. I now respect you, sir. You know, he's a self-aware king. It's like, that's great. We also have Tej, who is another beautiful First Nations girl.
Yes.
Who I'm immediately in love with. I do not think that Brooke and Tej will end up together. She's, like, barely made the edit so far.
But no, but Tej is my favourite character so far as well.
Right?
I think the moments she does have on screen are really good.
Yeah, we'll get to that a bit later. Someone brings a Shetland pony, whatever. Now, here comes the romance, honestly. Jamie Lee.
Yes.
Jamie Lee was on, I was like, she looks familiar. She was on Honey Badger's season. That's where she met Brooke. She already knows Brooke. Mm-hmm. Okay? We get flashback footage of Jamie Lee going home. They literally have it on camera. Jamie Lee and Brooke giving each other a longing glance as Jamie Lee is kicked off the show. You can't make that up, okay? She's like, I always liked Brooke, but obviously because we were there for Nick and Brooke was getting along with Nick, it's, you know, it wasn't my place. She wrote Brooke a letter when she left. She kept a copy of that letter and she brought it along tonight to read it to Brooke. Brooke, when she sees Jamie Lee, is so happy and so excited. I was like, oh my God, this is like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, okay? She's stoked. Jamie Lee starts reading the letter. Brooke's like, I kept this copy of this letter. I still have it. They're both crying. Brooke says, I thought about you for a long time. I'm sorry. Is this not romance, Danielle?
It's romance. It's beautiful, Naomi. It's absolutely stunning, gorgeous moment on reality TV.
It's like secret gay longing shit. This is like from a movie or something. This is like Carol.
Did you write this in your fan fiction, Naomi?
Well, I am writing one about Jamie Lee and Brooke, and I'm going to send it to them. It's so beautiful. Oh, I love it. And then she's the last one to enter.
Yeah. Sorry, I got distracted. For a second.
Were you thinking about the movie Carol?
No, I was trying to remember what the name of the lady is who looks like Adele now in this season.
Does she have red hair?
Mm,
I don't know if I would classify it as red.
Strawberry blonde, whatever you fucking...
I would classify it as like caramel. It's like wavy.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Black dress. To? First episode.
Beck?
I don't know the name. That's what I said.
Yeah, nah. Well, then why are you bringing her up?
Because I just liked that when it cut to then the next scene when they were inside hanging out together, like one of the boys was asking how she was feeling or something, and then she went, honestly, like women are so much more intimidating to me than men.
Yeah. And the man agreed.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, yeah, I'm pretty intimidated by all the women. Are you intimidated by men? And she's like, no. Which is like true, right? That's why I genuinely think like hitting on a man is like it's not, what's the worst that could happen? Like they reject, like, okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if a woman rejected me, I think I'd step in front of a train.
Oh my God.
Just kidding. Little bit of a, Osha comes in. He says, there's a white rose. It's the first impression rose, whatever. You get this, you get the first single date. They always find a way to do a little bit of a twist on it.
Isn't this the same as it's always been?
Well, no, it's always a bit different. It's never been the first single date before. It's okay. Been like you get a to pull it out to like basically redeem it for a single date whenever you want. Oh. Or there's been like you have access to this secret, you have access to this bungalow where you can go for a private chat and no one can interrupt you. Or there's always some sort of benefit. But I actually don't prefer this one because it means that when they've been able to sort of redeem it for a single date later on, like they're guaranteed to stay for however much time. But this
that's
is
that's true. You could keep it to the final two.
Yeah. And then you'd be like, I still haven't redeemed it, so you have to dump the other kind. We have Brooke and Carissa are talking. They're the first, like, you know, ones to step aside. And then they're like, who's going to go interrupt for the first time? It's Tej. Tej is the first one to interrupt. It seems that the men are very shy compared to the women.
People also, like, the men were all, like, everybody was like, oh, my God. I can't believe what a rude bitch to go over and interrupt. And then Brooke was like horny by it. She loved the confidence of it. Of course.
Of course. She liked people wanting to talk to her. Yeah. And Matt, our little rapping guy, was like, I wish I wasn't this nice. You're not nice. You're just a coward. Shut up. And there was just all the boys like huddling around in a circle. They were all just being waiting. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's talking to her now. Okay. And then we see Conrad talking about his little love seat.
And they kept showing shots of it. And I kept saying to Jono, it looks so sad. Like they need to put some cushions and throws and shit on that to make that look appealing at all. And that's when I related to Tej because.
Enter Tej.
Conrad was talking about his seat and Tej was like, what, like that? You're going to like, you're just going to take her over to that empty. You need to do something to it. And really helped him. She helped him dress it up.
It was so cute. He had like three women just like hyping him up, being like, yeah, like go now, dude. Like, come on. Like, oh, you know, we set it up all nice. It's going to be great. It was
come on,
so
we'll go
cute.
For a trip to Adair's. Let's go.
It was so fucking cute. Like, this is the shit that we have been missing because honestly, I do not think the women find the men that intimidating. No. And they're like, oh, bless them. They're fucking hopeless, dude. And they're not going to know the clit as well as I do. So just let me dress up the chair with him. It was so cute. And he's like gearing up the courage. Clearly from the edit, we know what's going to happen. Yes. We know that something bad is coming.
Well, is this that bad?
Yes.
Okay.
This was so annoying to me.
Okay, I thought you would have loved it.
No!
I thought you would have identified with this. Because whilst I think it's extremely silly.
I think it's fucking stupid. Like, clearly Conrad is a very sensitive man. Put so much effort into this fucking bench, right? Like, isn't it? It's cute to see someone like that. This woman, Jess, decides that she's going to take Brooke to go sit on this seat. Even though, you know, Conrad pinky promised Brooke that they were going to have their first sit on this bench that they built together. Fucking Jess is like, Oh, let's go sit on it. It was so irritating to me. It's so needlessly cruel. Like, I try to be cruel when there's a reason for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, this was just out of fucking nowhere. And I know that this is a show. She might have been told by the producers to do it or that it was going to be something funny because it just does seem kind of like, I don't understand why she did it.
Yeah, I assumed the producers told her to do it. And then I thought, I was like, surely everybody's just going to be like a bit like annoyed, but nobody's going to like hold this against her forever. And this isn't going to be this. You cannot be made to be a reality TV villain for sitting in somebody's chair.
No, but it's like stealing someone's romantic moment that was like the whole thing that they'd planned, bro.
Yeah, but
it's not about the seat.
I think it's more likely to backfire on Jess anyway in terms of, like, what Brooke thinks.
Well, exactly. That's why I don't understand why she did it. She's like, haha. And Brooke's like, oh, my God, wait, isn't this the seat? Oh, I feel bad for Conrad. And she's like, yeah, haha, let's just do it anyway. And Brooke's clearly so awkward and feels so bad.
So really it's a win for Conrad because it's potentially one less person he has to go against because they're going to keep her around as a villain, but nobody's ever going to forget the chair thing.
Yeah, but she's ruined that now. She's ruined that bench. Tainted it. I feel very sorry for Conrad. He clearly looks very sad about it. And I'm attracted to him. I do have to say that. I have to be upfront about this.
Tej started telling Conrad to reclaim that seat, which I loved.
The language of it is very funny. You have to reclaim it. Like reclaiming a slur, but it's reclaiming a wooden bench that someone else sat on. but they do end up sitting on it and, you know, it's okay. It's all right. They still have their little sweet moment. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm getting the impression that the show wants us to think that Conrad has more of a shot than he actually has.
I haven't gotten that impression, but I don't know anything. I've not watched as much Bachelor as you. And honestly, the thing is, I don't hold on to any memories of stuff from Bachelor. As soon as the season's
finished. Here's my
issues.
I have no knowledge. I have no memories. I have no thought processes.
Well, when as soon as the Bachelor's over, I forget everything that happened that season. That's why I don't remember who won any seasons ever or who any of the people were.
Yes.
Unless they were like a cult icon like Brittany.
Oh, stunning.
You can never forget Brittany.
Okay, so anyway, but yeah, we'll see how that goes. I do like looking at him though, so he can stick around in my opinion. And then we get Jamie Lee. Brooke sits down with Jamie Lee. Okay, this is the best. I love this so much. They sit down, they start talking about how they both had feelings for each other in the mansion in the Honey Badger season and that Brooke was very conflicted during the show. Okay.
Yeah, so we find out it was reciprocated.
Oh, my God. It's like long lust, like a lusting over each other. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Are you okay, Naomi?
No, I'm not okay. Okay, so they're, like, talking, you know, and she's like, I really want to kiss. Jamie Lee says, I really want to kiss you, but don't worry, I won't. And then Brooke's like, don't worry, it'll happen. And they're hugging and they're hugging. And then fucking Brooke just fucking goes for it. They start kissing on the lips. And then Brooke says, I'm sorry, God. I had to. They're fucking making out. Okay, I could not handle this.
This is so uncomfortable to me. It's like being in your brain while you're watching porn.
Bro,
like, oh my
for
God,
real.
This is happening.
I literally, the words I've written down is, okay, I am horny. And then underneath it, okay, I am gay. It is the most I have ever been moved by a kiss on one of these shows. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I was like sitting next to my sister. I was just like, don't look at me. It was so, because there was like real emotion behind it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't just like, I think you're cute, let's kiss. It was like long lost what could have been, like rekindled spark. It was fucking insane. It was like lingering. Oh my God, I couldn't do it.
I mean, I'm loving hearing you describe it. It's making everybody feel like they're they've entered a room that's definitely private.
Honestly, I felt like, yeah, it felt like it was me, Brooke, and Jamie Lee all in a room together. And we were all having the time of our lives. It was just like, it's crazy. I couldn't believe the chemistry of that kiss.
Well, if Jamie Lee's the next bachelorette, why don't you go on as the first polyamorous bachelorette person? You could go on and be like, Mark, sorry, I'm going to go on as the first polyamorous one. I'm going to have to confess that I'm polyamorous.
And then we'll bring Brooke in.
Yeah.
And then we'll all live happily ever after.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds perfect, bro. Okay, anyway, enough about that. Anyway, it's the best makeout ever in the history of the show. So, you know, they walk back and then it's time to give out the white rose, which goes to, drum roll, David, the Persian prince.
I was not expecting this.
No, me either.
They got me.
They twist, huge twist. That's why I think they're trying to, like, push Conrad as this person that David definitely is.
Yeah.
In terms of the front runner, at least, of the guys. And then we get the most irritating thing here with Bo, the fucking douchebag photographer, saying, the guys are off to a head start, we're winning. And then later he says, yeah, the boys.
Yeah, it's like he thinks that he came on the show not to be with Brooke, but to try and get a man to win a bisexual woman over.
Because you're not really on a team with this guy. Yeah. In fact, he's your competition as much as the women are. And even some would say more so because, like, you're going to have more in common with him than you are with the women that she would also be interested in, really.
Yeah.
It's weird that you think that you were in competition with the women. Really, you're not in competition with anyone because Brooke clearly thinks you're disgusting.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do think that Bo is mostly just stupid. I don't want to be too harsh on him because I know everyone else will be.
So you just think he's just like, he's sort of just like a himbo. He's just a bit.
Not a himbo because himbos are nice.
No, Naomi, I said himbo as well because it was fun because his last name's Bo. His name's Bo.
Ah!
Himbo.
Okay, that is a bit fun. Okay. But absolutely not. Don't you dare call him a himbo because himbo is
him mean.
I've noticed something. Hum and I are like working on a bunch of different pitches for stuff at the moment. And in each one we write some kind of perfect male character that is not based on anyone real. And it's like, you know, either like a himbo or like a strong silent type. And then we start to really get emotionally involved with this man who literally does not exist. We're like, we'll like write down and then he does this and then we're like, oh my God, he's so beautiful. The man of our dreams is a man that literally cannot exist. So don't you dare call him a himbo. Because he's just a fuckhead. He's just like, he's just stupid. I just, anyway, really irritated me. Rose ceremony. Jamie Lee not there for some reason. She's felt sick. Went to bed. And then I don't even have. I got irritated because I think is there like 14 of them or something, or there's 16. There's really not that many. There's always way more on The Bachelor. We've touched on this before, but this is so irritating to me.
Yeah, they get rid of like 4 in the first night on.
Do they? I didn't actually write down who left.
Oh, no. Tonight on The Bachelorette, they've just gotten rid of one tonight. But on The Bachelor, they always get rid of like 4 to 6ladies.
Yeah, that's true. I guess women are just more disposable.
Well, not to Brooke.
Not to Brooke. Who does she send home here?
Johan. We didn't really meet him at all. We just saw like when they were getting out of the car, he'd go, hi, I'm Johan. And then cut to Johan goes. You know, when he lives at home. One thing I would like to say about this episode is that something I've noticed for this season is the age of the people is higher than any season of The Bachelor that's ever existed. Like, The Bachelor is always like 18 to 23 year olds, essentially. But this is like mostly like, I would say like 30 seems to be like the median age.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, it's because it's always like that.
For The Bachelorette.
Yeah, but even the women, they're always older.
It's like, yeah. I guess that's because maybe women do want somebody more on their playing, like more on their mental area than men. I don't want to make a large
some
assumption.
Young little girl to fuck. I'll say it.
I've just disappointed myself in men again. No.
Just think about a fictional man. Just make up a man in your head. That's nice. It's beautiful. And that is the end of episode one. We'll be back in a moment to do episode two after this short break. Love you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we're back. You know, Danielle's just told me in this short break that she was barely paying attention for this next episode, so we should shoot right through it.
Sorry. It was because I watched them back to back.
Don't watch them back to back, Danielle.
Yeah, I know, but I'd had a very busy week, and then I knew, so I'd planned to watch them Saturday, not remembering that my brain can't focus for long periods of time. Thank God the second episode was only 42 minutes or something. Like when I originally was like, oh my God, this is going to take me 4 hours, because I assumed that each episode would be 2 hours long.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there you go. Well, I guess I'll take the reins on this one.
I mean, I still remember some stuff.
Look, not much happens. So episode two, we get the group date with the photo shoot. This is a must to sell. Now, where are the photos going for this photo shoot? I feel like they're going somewhere different than they usually go.
Is it not New Idea or TV Week?
Well, that's why, like, it seems like somewhere, hang on, Bachelorette photo shoot Brooke. I feel like they go somewhere. I thought it seemed like it was someone different.
I don't know.
Okay, who knows? I don't know who it was, but it seemed like they cared. Like, I don't think the, like, editor of whatever publication it was, he seemed like, everyone seems to just be wanking themselves off about this, like, groundbreaking. And we know it's News Corp, but we don't know what. And it's like, I wouldn't call News Corp like a the first defender of human rights. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Diversity. Okay, so it's like Rupert Murdoch's company. So
Yeah.
So ignoring that. Anyway, they did seem to be a bit like, oh, this is so this is groundbreaking. Which, like, it is, but it's like when I see people like that, like being like, aha, we're doing amazing things. I'm like, but you're just doing this because the tide has turned enough for this to be profitable for you. Shut up.
They also do a photo shoot every single year. I mean, I know it's not for the same company, but
I think it might be. I don't know what it is. It's just, it seemed like they cared a lot more about this one, which honestly they should, because all the other photo shoots are just like a boring, who fucking cares, but this is cool. And then we see the first photo shoot. They're all holiday themed. The first photo shoot, I didn't really catch what it was, but it's Kurt, Carissa, and Jamie Lee by the pool. Do you know what holiday that was supposed to be?
No, I was. It's when Brooke's birthday is, but I don't know what one. It was like red, white, and blue was Brooke, the theme. So Blurton. I was like, is it like 4th of July or something? Is 4th
birthday.
Of July when people have?
Her birthday is January 1. There you go.
So New Year's Day?
New Year's Day, which is in summertime, so it holds up.
That's funny as well, because you got New Year's Day and then the last shot is New Year's Eve. It comes full circle.
Wow. Okay, they really thought about this. I think it's funny watching all the women get put in like full makeup and hair, and then Kurt is like, I need to like do something about the way I look. So he starts doing push-ups, which is so funny because that's what men do when they're trying to like make themselves look all like pumped up and veiny.
There was a guy who when at comedy he would do push-ups on the floor like just before his set, like he was like he was like to try and get his like adrenaline pumping
cool
to,
man
to get on stage, but I was like, oh, That seems crazy.
Hell yeah, brother. Yeah, look, that's very upsetting to me. Oh, just in the green room. What if there wasn't a green room?
Did you? Yeah, that's the thing. There wasn't a green room. It was just at the back of the room on the ground.
I mean, I would do the, like, power pose hands, but I would go to the toilet to do that so no one saw.
I would love to see you walking around with the power pose hands.
Well, I would just do it in the cubicle. That's the thing no one has to know.
Yeah.
But it's, like, psychologically, it makes you more confident. It actually works, okay?
Well, so, could you not do, like, a subtle hand on hips one, that power pose at the back
of the room? No, it's about, it's the arms up. It's good for you. Anyway. Okay. I had an anxiety disorder, okay? Now, I don't because I take drugs that make serotonin stay in my brain longer, and now I don't worry what anyone thinks of me. Which is like, I say now that like when I was really anxious, I was probably more on the money in terms of like people disliking me, but now I just don't care.
But that's way nicer to not care.
It's to not care.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it doesn't do anything. I mean, I'm not going to not be a little cunt. Like that.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing about me, I think, is that this whole time I've been so anxious about like whether or not people like me. But at no point have I tried to be less abrasive.
Okay, this is the thing. So the other night, so I was talking to somebody and they said they have ADHD as well. And they then were saying about how they like talk over people all the time and how, but they're not a narcissist because they have ADHD. And ADHD makes them talk over people. But I realized that like a few years ago, one of my things was about 5 years ago, I think I was really bad at talking over people. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I was really bad at it. And then I just worked really hard on it. And now I still might do it occasionally, like if I get worked up or whatever, like or really excited about a topic. But I feel like now I'm much better at not doing it. And like I've worked on that. I think it is narcissistic to know you've got a problem in that thing and then not to work on it.
I mean, I have a bad habit of finishing people's sentences because... like they talk slower than I like them to. And like, this isn't conscious, but I'll just like finish their sentence because I know what they're going to say. And it's like, if I know what you're going to say, why do I have to wait 10 minutes for you to finish the sentence? I'll just say what you're thinking back to you. So you can go, yeah. And then I can talk.
That's funny.
And everyone loves it when you do that.
It's similar to when I start singing at home and then my mum will just start singing along as well. And I'm like, why are we now doing a duet? I was just having fun time by myself in my room and then now all of a sudden mum's in the doorway singing along.
This is a solo, actually. It's like my 4-year-old nephew who is autistic, and sometimes he'll be singing a song, and if you try to sing along, I taught him songs. I'll play songs on ukulele for him, and so I've taught him Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer.
Yeah,
and sometimes I'll play the ukulele and now he sings it, and sometimes in the second verse he'll accidentally start singing the first verse lyrics, so I'll just like, you know, I'll prompt him with the and I've got a video of him and I like start singing it and he's like singing and then he just goes quiet and then I like and then I keep singing because it's really not for very long. I'm just trying to get him back on track and he's like quiet done. And I relate to him a lot. Anyway, so the first photo shoot, yes, it's by the pool. We have Kurt, Carissa, and Jamie Lee. At some point, Jamie Lee is like, I'm the lifeguard, and I feel like the other two people in this photo should just, like, walk away. And then it just turns into the Jamie Lee and Brooke show, which, honestly, is a show that I am watching.
Oh, we know.
And then the next one is... like, obviously, they have to do this. They do this every season. They find some sort of rivalry and then put that on, put a spotlight on it with Conrad and Jess, obviously, the love seat fiasco. So we have Conrad and Brooke are on a date. It's like a Valentine's Day theme. And then Jess is... like either a waiter or she's like one of those people who comes past and like sells roses.
Yeah, I thought it was a weird one. I was like, surely you could have made something a bit more like normal.
But I think that's what, I guess on Valentine's Day, there are people walking around selling roses.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot it was Valentine's Day. I forgot this was a holiday themed shoot. See, that's this is like why they didn't print it in any actual magazine, because everybody watching it is like, what the fuck are these themes?
First theme is pool. Second theme is restaurant. They're all places that you can go, which is actually really triggering for those of us who haven't been able to go anywhere. So anyway, Jess is, you know, she's like, oh, can you just get out of the seat? To which Conrad says to camera, she steals my seat and she's good at it. Happens again. But then Conrad steals back the limelight by doing like a, maybe we've been dating for a while and it's Valentine's Day, and does like a proposal thing. And he starts describing their life together and like they're going to have two kids and they're going to blah, 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 blah. And she's like getting emotional.
It was so funny when Brooke got emotional. I loved that so much. I was like, this is so funny.
But I was like, is she emotional or is she like awkward because it's too much? It could have gone either way, honestly, from the words she was using. That's why I felt like maybe we think he has more of a shot than he actually has, because I think you could edit what Brooke said to be like, she's a bit frightened by that.
Yeah. But she said, I've thought about that too, about the order of children and their genders. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's like, first we'll have a daughter.
Oh, first we'll have a son, and then we'll have a daughter so the son can look after the daughter.
Shut up.
I'm like, all right.
Ugh.
What we've learnt from last episode is that women are far more confident, and therefore I feel like a boy wouldn't stand up to his little sister's bullies as much as a big sister would stand up to a little brother's bullies.
You reckon?
Big time.
I mean, a boy standing up to girls younger than him, it's a bit of a weird vibe.
Yeah, but not if you're like 10 and they're like 8.
Yeah, I guess.
When you're kids, you're just kids. I don't think you think about it that much.
I don't know. A pretty early age, I was thinking about, you know, the social political implications of my actions.
Oh, my God.
How I was going to reflect on any like political campaigns I might do down the road.
No, Naomi, she was a very politically active young child.
Yeah, I was, actually.
We were talking about him proposing and the genders of the children that they would have when they thought about that.
So I honestly think making Brooke emotional is really easy. It seems like it is. She'll cry at the drop of a fucking hat.
Yeah.
Which I love, because it's, you know, something I'm incapable of. next holiday is Halloween. Fun one.
Spooky.
Few people here. None of them really that important. But the thing seems to be that Brooke says that, like, the guys they are trying to get into the shot. And then she goes, but it kind of feels like I don't exist. So they don't seem to be concerned about spending time with Brooke so much as getting in the shot. And this includes Beau, who was pouting the whole time.
She couldn't help it. Like, she was, like, laughing at him. It was very funny. Because he was,
like, pouting.
Oh, my God.
Like, how can you not read the room? Because he's doing it. And she's like, oh, you're pouting. And he's just like, haha, yeah, you like this. Like, it's just, how can you not read when someone's like, I don't know.
I don't think I've ever pouted, like, in real life with somebody else in the room.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so brave of you.
Because I feel like pouting was like something that happened like in the late 2000s, early 2010s. Like,
yes.
In terms of like in photos. And then I don't think people pout in photos anymore, really. Do they? They like pucker a bit.
But you existed.
But you don't
want to
look like you're trying too hard.
I remember my friend made me in high school take a mirror selfie of, like, you know, we're both standing in the mirror and we're both pouting. And even then, she, like, had to beg me to do it. I was like, nah, this looks fucking lame as hell. Like, this is not cool. Like, this is a fucking wank. And she's like, come on, please. And I was like, fine. So I guess I've always been very cool. Anyway, so, yeah, it's kind of just awkward and weird. And then there's the New Year's Eve shoot with Holly. Love, Brooke is wearing, like, a full suit.
Yes.
She looks... Mwah. She looks hot. I mean, she always looks hot and everything, doesn't she? Come on, let's be real. Yeah. And Holly's wearing a red dress again. She wore a red dress on the first night too.
Yeah.
And it's like New Year's Eve, and they're like doing a little dance, doing a little romantic dance, and then fireworks go off for midnight.
Yeah, big sparklers behind. Shoot out. Yeah. Fire.
And it irritates me because they clearly both want to kiss each other, but no one's making a move. And this feels very woman-loving woman to me. From what I've heard about, like, I don't know if she likes me and she's standing in front of you, like, completely naked. And you're like, I think we're just friends.
Naomi, was this too frustrating for you? Could you not have a little wank in the house with your sister sitting beside you watching it?
How dare you? All right.
Another one of your moments.
I couldn't pull a Lena Dunham in this moment. It was very frustrating for me. Holly and Brooke, the combo, doesn't move me. But I was just annoyed because Brooke kept hinting at, like, what should we do at midnight? Like, she kept, like, clearly hinting that she wanted to kiss her. But then Brooke was like, I don't make the first move. And, like, it was just really awkward because that's what you do at midnight is you kiss. Like, that's the whole fucking point. And they both clearly wanted to kiss. And then they both weren't kissing. And I was like, grow up.
I mean, I would have loved to have seen, like, okay, theme change, Christmas. Mistletoe.
Okay, it's like carnival kissing booth. For 4th of July, I don't know. When do you have a kissing booth in Australia? Anyway, they didn't kiss, and it just kind of irritated me. I was like, this is the whole point, and you're both hinting at kissing. I just was like, what are you, like, are we in high school where you're like, I don't know if they like me, but you're, like, literally, like, inches away from each other's faces? Grow up. Grow up. Then that's the end of the group date.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have our single date.
Yes, with David.
David. Got the white rose, got the first single date. They get, she pops over to the mansion. They get picked up by a helicopter.
Pretty cool.
And go up to some sort of, did you catch note?
It's the foothills of the Blue Mountains.
Figured it would be the Blue Mountains. They love the Blue Mountains on this show.
This date is something that I would have no interest in ever doing in my life.
Absolutely. What is, are you serious? Like, sort of what the fuck?
Sitting on a hammock. Like a rigid hammock off the side of a cliff.
Yeah, a ledge on the side of a cliff.
No, like, thank like you.
5 meters down, just like it's like the ledge started abseiling and stopped, and so then they get in their harnesses and they put helmets on, which I now understand was for going down to the ledge so they didn't hit their head on the rock on the way down. But I did think that helmet's not going to do much if you fall.
Yeah.
I don't think that's helping anyone. But they go down and sit on this little ledge. Yeah, I would have no interest in this.
Naomi, that wasn't a ledge.
What do you mean that wasn't a ledge?
It wasn't a ledge. It was like a hanging seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a ledge. It was like a hanging seat. It was even worse.
That's what I mean. It was a rectangle.
Oh, okay. A ledge in my mind, I was like, oh, thank God, it's ground that cannot move.
Oh,
it's,
no.
It's off the side of it. It's rock. It can't be broken easily. No.
No, absolutely not. This was just a rectangle with, like, I guess a bit of fabric in the center.
Some harness. They tried to put some fake vines over it to make it look prettier.
Dress it up a little bit. So they make their way down. They can take the helmets off when they're sitting on it. And then they just talk about their feelings or whatever. I just don't care about this guy. I'm sorry. But they seem to be enjoying each other. You know what it is? Because she says, like, I feel really calm around you. And that is just boring to me.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, I'm not one of those people who romanticizes. Like, I don't know if you saw the interview with Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly. Did you see that one?
No.
They're in a relationship. He's younger than her. And it's like they're like the hot new couple, right? And it was like this photo shoot for fucking GQ or something like that. And like Megan Fox, who's like how old now? She's in her 30s at least, right? And
she'd be like 35 or something maybe?
Something like that. And she's it's like, I can't remember her exact words, but something like, yeah, like I don't want people to think that it's just all roses all the time because there's like a dark demonic side to this relationship. And like, anyway, I just like, it's like, what are you, like a Taylor Swift fucking lyric being like, screaming through the back door in my pickup truck. Anyway, I'm not someone who romanticizes.
That was also Taylor Swift,
like,
when she was like 17 singing songs
exactly.
Like that.
That's when you romanticize like volatile, relationships. I'm just saying, I'm not like that, but like someone who just makes you calm. Maybe it's just not something I need. I don't need a man or anyone really to like make me feel calm and safe. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm fine.
Do you know what Jono said to me the other night? We were watching something and I was like, it was like, we watched these like, do you know Darman?
What?
Darman? Darman? No. Do you know Darman?
I don't know what that is.
He makes these like videos for YouTube that are like supposed to be like feel good videos. They make no sense. They're similar to the type of content we try to get together and watch together, Naomi, in it. Like, you know, horrible content.
Absolute nightmare, yeah.
Anyway, we're watching it and I was having the time of my life chatting away about what we were watching. And then Jono said to me, I was like, sometimes I'd like it if we could, I really like when we can just like sit in silence together sometimes.
Because you were talking through it.
I was talking. Yeah, and then I was like, what the fuck are you on about? This is, we don't watch this to like be upset that we speak over and miss the plot points. This is actively bad.
Sometimes I'd love it if you'd shut the fuck up. I think that would be so nice and romantic if you weren't talking.
Yeah, I was like, you can just say you've reached the end of your tether for me today.
I just don't want to hear your fucking voice anymore today. And I love you for that. Yeah, nah, I have had to have talks with Mark recently. I'm like, if you, he'll just start, I'll be watching something, and this includes trying to watch one of these episodes of The Bachelorette. He'll just start having an entirely different, like, just so vaguely related to the show, and then just go off on a tangent. And now I just pause it, and I look at him, and he goes, I'm doing it again. I'm literally trying to make notes here. Like, but nah, tell me what this cunt said about this old Star Wars movie. Let's do that. Oh, bless. Anyway, so yeah, the point is he makes her feel calm. That's so boring to me. I guess that's why I don't care about this relationship, because it's like, you want someone to feel calm. I don't know, just be alone. You want to feel calm? Just sit in a room alone.
Yeah, I mean,
it's your calmness.
My favorite part of this date was when the man abseiled down to give them some hot chocolate. And then Brooke said, it's hot chocolate. And then David said, I'm lost for words.
Well, I was wondering, is it like Persian hot chocolate maybe or something? Because I was like, why are you lost for words that she's brought hot chocolates? But I thought, like, right, is that, I feel like I'm not making that up. But I don't know. I don't know much about Persian.
I feel like they would have
made
a bigger deal about it. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe he didn't go on to the, maybe he was just like, Persian hot chocolate, cool. And they were trying to do it as like a talking point, but he didn't pick up on the vibe they were putting down.
Well, he was lost for words. So maybe he couldn't articulate it.
That's true.
But that was fucking weird when a man just appeared in a tux with a basket and just abseiled down to them.
Yeah, I was like, who the fuck is this?
Hello. It was crazy. Anyway, whatever, yada, yada. Do they kiss? I assume they kiss.
I don't know, but she gives him a rose.
Yeah, cool. Good on you. I don't care. It's the cocktail party. There's an understanding that the people who weren't on the group date will get to speak to Brooke first. Brooke grabs one person initially to talk to, and then after that, David grabs Brooke, and everyone's very mad about this because David has a rose. He's the only one who's actually safe at this point, and he's like, I want time with Brooke. People are pissed off about this, especially Emily. Not happy.
Yes.
You with me, Danielle?
Well, yeah, I just can't care about this particular thing. I just find this sort of stuff is like, I understand because there's your chance to stay on the Bachelor thing, but then you got to get in there. You just got to jump in there and be like, David, get the fuck out of my way. I'm going to speak to Brooke now.
I also do understand that if you've just had like a lovely day with someone and then like you see them the next day or whatever, you would want to like speak to them straight away.
Yeah, I feel like you would.
Otherwise, it'd be weird.
It'd be awkward to not be like, hey. And sorry, Holly was the person who had a chat with Brooke, and then Holly got a rose.
Did she get a kiss this time?
I don't remember.
Me either. Jamie Lee says about Brooke and Holly that they look like a couple. She says, I should be jealous, but I'm just in awe.
She seems
nice.
Because
they're very like intimate. Someone told me that Holly has huge top energy. So that's just something to take into consideration. Something that we should, you know, pay attention to moving forward. And then Emily gets mad at David, blah, blah, blah. I don't trust you anymore. I thought you had potential to be a really good friend, but it's actually good that you did that, because now we can just, like, weed out the people who won't be good friends. Drama, because there's nothing else to talk about.
So far this season we've had the chair and David interrupting.
But honestly, I like the, like, people getting along more than the fighting.
I wrote earlier that this is the type of drama that I want. I want the most drama there to be is to be over a chair, because I thought it was funny and silly.
Yeah. Well, and also just, like, people hyping each other up and being, like, talking about, like, gender and, like, I think everyone's intimidated by women. And, like, that's just so interesting. And then rose ceremony, Beau leaves, which is good because I think he would have irritated everyone too much.
Yes.
The people watching The Bachelorette are not the type of people who are going to like Beau at all.
No. Hey, guess what? Like I know he's not a himbo, but him go.
Yes! Steady out!
Thank you! Thank you!
And that brings us to the end of the first week of The Bachelorette. By version, which we stan.
By version.
By the by version. What? What's your problem? What? Say it.
Nothing. Oh, I also thought, I think Emily on her arm has a tattoo of a rainbow. And was like, ooh, another rainbow.
Triangle. The women are all queer. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I know. But
there's your fucking rainbow. Like, they're all going to have that in common. So what?
I just thought it was funny, because if everybody's looking into all the symbolism of everything, then there's another person who you could be like, wait, is that the person? Because they have the rainbow. You know, we could see some inter-house hooking up, which I think we'll see anyway, right? That's like one of the things that was in the trailer for the season is like, oh no, Brooke's got to sort out some inter-house mingling or something.
I'm so excited for it. Oh.
I would have loved to have seen whatever season it was where the two ladies left together and got together. And then like in the Vietnam. Man trying to have to like have a chat, being like, oh, excuse me, ladies. I've noticed
Wait, is this
you
your
two?
Impression of a Vietnamese man?
Wait, no, wasn't this in Australia? Didn't two ladies leave The Bachelor and then end up dating?
Yeah, but it wasn't really on the show. Like, one of them left, one of them got kicked off, and then the other one left at some point later on and was like, I don't want to be here anymore. They didn't address it at all, and then it was just, like, later people found out that they were dating. But they're on the Vietnamese, I believe it was Vietnam, a woman left and then another woman was like, I'm sorry, I want to go be with her, and left. And then the man went and got her back and was like, please come be with me. And she was like, okay. And then she came back to the show, but then I think she still ended up with the girl anyway. I don't think the relationship with the man lasted. Which is, I don't think I'm going to
be gutted. He would have been gutted the man lost that.
Now it's going to be a weird thing going forward, because I don't think there's any way that I can root for a man in this show, and I don't want it to be taken as like something that is biphobic or anything, but I guess I can't be taken as biphobic now.
Oh my God.
I guess I'm invincible. But also like, you know, I'm attracted to men, so I get it. But also like, I've met men. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's just like
help who you fall in love with, but I mean, come on.
I think more like, I feel like maybe this is more what I feel, is that maybe you can take more women on face value.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Also, a stereotype about women is that women are bitchy, and I've always thought that men are far more bitchy.
I mean, I guess just people are bitchy. Are women I just think people are bitchy.
That's true, but I just feel like, I think men are funny. Maybe it's I think that men are funny when they bitch, because I'm like, I feel like they do it in a different way to women, or like women will just do it in conversation. It'll be normal, and men will do it and they'll get like riled up and so excited about it, like a flock of hens.
You know what I think it is? I think you spend more time with stand-up comedians than I do.
Yes.
and male stand-up comedians are maybe the bitchiest subset of people in the
they
world.
They are so bitchy, male right? comedians.
And it's for no reason as well. It's like anyone who's on the outside of whatever fucking clique they've decided they're in, they'll be like, great, so let's tear them down for because they're doing improv, just so I can feel better about my connection with you, someone I see at a bar three times a week, even though I don't know, you know, your middle name. I don't really know anything about you beyond the fact that we are better than that person doing improv. Shut
I
up.
I love to, I think it's funny to see. I can see it genuinely. I can see their, like, the hair on the back of their neck rising as they get goosebumps and excited about bitching to each other.
Oh, my God.
It's so funny to see from a distance. You see their heads go together. I love it. I can spot it from a mile away.
Put that in whatever fucking all-male group chat you have, you fucking pieces of shit. Shut up. Anyway. My God. Is there a group more irritating? I hope they're listening. Just kidding. They wouldn't listen to this. We're women. Okay. So we've got three new reviews. Two of them are just complaints. Dave O'Pinnell says, so sad. Come on, guys. End the feud and bring it back. We need sassy banter. We hope you're happy. We're back. We've ended the huge feud that we had going.
Oh, my God. Okay.
What's wrong?
We've never had a feud.
No.
We simply got fatigued. And we have phone calls and video chats regularly without yep. recording it.
It's true.
We just weren't recording it.
Sorry. Temporarily not monetizing our friendship. Don't worry, we're back.
The small amount of monetary
yeah.
income.
The several hundred dollars over multiple years of work. B Spidey G says, whoa, I love this pod, but only two episodes are available on my Apple Podcasts. Upsetting. Well, they're back. Okay, so calm down. They're from America.
Oh, did you re-upload all of the episodes that you took down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did that Once you get cancelled, you just stop worrying about whether something you've said in the past is problematic. You know what yeah. I mean? It's really freeing, actually. And Emily B93, the title of the review is just a smiley face. Oh, my God. They're so happy. Welcome back. Thanks for bringing back the old eps. Smiley emoji with teeth this time. Like, huge. I'm looking forward to hearing your recaps on this season of The Bachelorette. P.S. I hope you have both bought the Vush / Abby across Abby since recording. I have not, but I was supposed to get one as, like, SponCon, so I am going to email my manager and see if that's still available.
Yeah, then you can watch The Bachelor and watch Brooke have little smooches and exactly. do your thing.
The ultimate Bachelorette collab. The Bachelorette cross with Vush cross Abby cross with my pussy. Sorry that I'm bi, Danielle. I have to practice saying that I'm bi because it still feels very upsetting.
You don't have to apologize to me.
That, like, it still gets my back up because I'm like, I haven't earned it, you know?
What do you mean you haven't earned it?
Because I haven't dated any women.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything, does it? I don't think it means
no,
anything.
No, it doesn't. I was Googling, am I bi? And then it came up with this thing. It's like 18 signs you might be bi. And then the last one was like, did you Google, am I bisexual? Because that's probably a sign. I was like, okay. Straight people don't sit around wondering whether they're gay most of the time. It's like, what? So what? So what? I watch exclusively lesbian porn. Get over it.
yeah, I think that might be a sign.
It's fine. Anyway, whatever. Very empowering. You know, I'm going blonde. It's huge. Anyway, Danielle, what song are we singing this week?
This week, we're singing Smooth Lovin' by Kevin MacLeod and Competech. And this is the description. This one got turned up to 11. I started producing this as a parody. Then I really started liking it. Ooh. So I guess it is a pastiche now? Oh, man. I wish there was an allowance for pastiche and copyright like there is for parody.
Okay.
Whatever Kevin's on about, he's on about it again.
Bless him. Oh, we love him so much. All right. Well, we did it. And we did it like in like an hour and a half. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's good
for
us.
Do you have anything on you need to talk about?
Nah, just the blonde hair really is like the big thing coming from me. I mean, also I'm on Twitch still, so pop by, you know, watch me play video games. Or I spent a whole stream a couple weeks ago just writing a shit post for Instagram of like why calling this like evil senator, like why criticizing her is biphobic because she's bisexual and she's just like the ultimate like identity politics. Like she wears colorful wigs and she's like, I'm wearing the wigs to, you know, like as a shout out to hairdressers who can't work through COVID. But what? Then she like votes down increasing the minimum wage. And it's like, you're a piece of shit. And so I wrote like a whole shit post for Instagram on my Twitch channel of just like, you know, it's biphobic and it's like bipartisan, like being bipartisan is fine. Just like being bisexual is fine. And if you like tell her that she can't vote sometimes with Democrats and sometimes with Republicans, then you're being bipartisan phobic, which is an extension of being biphobic. And it's just complete trash. And I don't expect you to understand any of it, Danielle, which I can tell from the look on your face, you do not.
I just started staring off and I was like, How do I say? Well, go check Naomi out on her Twitch stream.
You're like, what the fuck am I gonna say when she stops talking, man? I know she's gonna look me in the eyes and she's gonna expect a response because we're having a conversation, but I got no idea what that was bipartisan mean.
I love Parmesan. It's good.
Yeah. It's like Parmesan cheese.
Well, for me, I have some laugh out loud festival shows coming up in Sydney.
And you will laugh out loud if you go see Danielle do comedy, and let me say that much for free.
Big time, baby. it's sort of a trial show. It's a work in progress for coming up, but it's
nice.
It's on, I think, I'm not sure because I thought it was 9, 10, 11 of December, but then I looked online and it says 2nd, 3rd, 4th of December, so I need to have a look. But either way, if you Google it, they'll come up, and I'm sure if the tickets are on sale, they'll tell you what date it will be if it does change.
Or hell yeah, but I think it's baby. 2nd, 3rd, 4th.
Okay, yeah, cool.
And you also just got the moose head.
Oh, which
is very prestigious, I guess, what do you call it? A grant?
Like it's like they fund comedian, like help fund comedians' ideas for shows if they've got like a fun, interesting idea that they want to explore at festivals.
Yeah.
So my work in progress show will be a work in progress of that show.
So cool.
Which will come to Melbourne and Sydney when it's finished.
It's very exciting. I'm very proud of you, Danielle.
Thank you, Naomi. Thank you. I'm very proud of your ship post too.
Yeah. Absolutely on the same level. Those two achievements. Anyway, okay. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Batch bitch, batch bitch. Batch bitch, batch bitch. Batch bitch, batch bitch.
Batch bitch.
Yeah, it's time for batch bitch.
Batch bitch.
Ooh, the bachelorette is
batch
bitch, baby. She likes men. And she also likes a woman, and she probably likes non-binary people too.
Batch bitch, batch bitch, baby.
So everybody can be horny about this.
Batch bitch, baby.
I guess explicitly and exclusively gay men, but they should still be happy, cause it's still good queer representation. And maybe two of the guys in the house will hook.
But I doubt it.
Batch bitch, batch bitch, baby.
Bitty bitty boo boo.
Batch bitch, batch bitch, baby.
Get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the stuff right there.
Wow.
Mm.
Match, bitch, batch, bitch, baby.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.